You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, this is Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. I have a really good show for you today. We're going to recap the Raptors game, and then we're going to look ahead to today's Indiana Pacers game. Of course, just so you know, I will, again, not be here tomorrow on Thursday or on Friday. Unfortunately, I am traveling to St. Louis, Missouri, for some work. I will not be watching the Pacers game until Saturday, and I will not be really have any time to record. So Carter Rodriguez from Fear the Sword is going to be stepping in for me, so make sure you check out his two shows, and thanks to Carter for stepping in and really helping me out and just giving you guys the daily show that you deserve. We really do appreciate it. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy having Carter on Thursday and Friday, and then he'll, I'm sure, be on again in the future because he's a guest I really do enjoy having on the show. So, to look at the Raptors win. The Cavs won this game 121-117. It's the second win for the Cavs over the Raptors this season. It's the second time this year it's been a pretty fun and entertaining game. That's where we're going to start in our three takeaway section. I'm of the opinion, and this isn't a hot take or by any means an original idea, but I think this would be a really, really fun Eastern Conference Finals matchup. It's what we got last year. The Cavs certainly won. The Cavs certainly really were in cruise control for much of that series, but it's true. I think the Cavs play the Raptors really tough. They're certainly an edge to this Raptors team that they like. DeRozan certainly playing really well helps that. They present some fun matchup issues. Lowry and DeRozan, again, are just really, really good. This was a really fun game to just watch. Didn't have to write a recap. Took notes on it, obviously, but was not having to write about it, and just getting to watch how it played out was really fun. I thought in the second half when the Cavs got up by double digits, I thought they might pull away, and then it became close late. The only really bummer about this game was the kind of the wonky reffing, also no J.R. Smith, so that you don't get a full look at the Cavs for the second straight game. And even if the Cavs are clearly better, I do think this is the best possible Eastern Conference Finals we're going to see. This is maybe a little takey to say right now, but if you look at some of the other contenders, Boston's not really playing well 10 games into the year. Al Horford, of course, has missed, I believe, 7 games now, and that doesn't help. But they're not a good rebounding team. They don't really have that one guy that I think can just go get a bucket for them. So I'm not really intrigued by what they do for the Cavs. They certainly have guys who can defend, but the rebounding thing really would matter against the Cavs. And again, they haven't looked really good yet, and that's sort of concerning. You look at a team like Charlotte, I think they're really good, and they're playing well enough, I think, right now to be in contention for a top-four seed. But I don't think they're on the Cavs' level by any stretch of the imagination. I think they have a lot of nice players. Kemba's very good. I'm a big Michael Gilchrist guy. Nick Batum is very good. That's not a team you're going to think has a chance to beat the Cavs. And, you know, Indiana's certainly there. Detroit's there, which could be fun, but we haven't really seen them play at full strength yet this year, and they really won't until Reggie Jackson comes back. It's just kind of the Raptors, to me, are the best option to face the Cavs. And again, I would think the Cavs would win that series probably pretty handily once again, but it's the best possible option, I think, and tonight was an example of that. This was a fun game. If you're just listening to this podcast to understand what happened in the game, go watch this game. If you have League Pass, you can replay it. You can probably view it on Fox Sports Go as well. It's a great game to watch. Just really fun. The second takeaway is we're going to look at the downsides of the Channing Frye at center late in games issue here. We talked about on Monday about how useful that is for the Cavs, how it really helps clear space inside. We saw this become an issue a little bit against Toronto. Now, the Cavs didn't really care that much about defense in this game. You know, they're really emphasizing in this win, offense, shooting, any way they can create space and just kind of try to outscore the Raptors. That's what they did in playing Frye and, to an extent, Kevin Love at the 5. is certainly what you're doing there. But if you look at how Channing Frye played, you know, solid defender for sure, but he's minus 9 despite scoring 21 points and kind of playing out of his mind. Plus minus stats in a single game are sort of inherently flawed. And when you apply it to a single guy like I did, you're sort of removing context of who they're playing with, and there's all this more specific data that I think is more valuable. But if you score 21 points and your team wins, usually you think you have a better plus-minus. Frye kind of struggled in defense this game. Guys are making run runs at him, and I think that's where you just see sort of the issue with this. Certainly against a guy like Valanciunas, it has a lot of value. And certainly, he has a lot of positives, but you're seeing sort of the downside of those lineups in this game. It's not something I think is super alarming. I think the Cavs are comfortable just trying to outscore teams, and I think they can certainly do it because they can just basically throw out a jumble of five players that just has LeBron James on it and maybe Kyrie and Love if they want to throw everybody out there, and it can be a really good offensive lineup. That's just the strength of this team, and I think you saw that. Frye at the five is certainly a part of that. It also just sometimes is going to have some defensive issues, and Frye isn't always going to be a great paint defender in a traditional sense. And by any sense, I don't think he's ever going to be a linchpin on a good defensive unit. If he's on a good defensive unit, it would certainly indicate something different, but I think it would be in lineups where he's featured with LeBron, with Shumpert, with guys that can, you know, theoretically protect rim runs. Lastly, we talked about DeMar DeRozan in the preview. Got some really good insight from Sean Woodley in that preview, but he didn't really do anything in this game that I think was particularly great. He was good in the first half, and he got a lot of shots off, but he finished 10 of 27 from the field, and he scored a bunch of points. I believe scored 26 points in this game, but he didn't do anything that particularly saw him go nuclear. Now, the Cavs did go with Richard Jefferson on him to slow him down at the start of the game, with J.R. Smith again not playing, and that helped, and the Cavs have ways to defend DeRozan. But if you look at sort of the pros and cons of this, if you're Toronto, you kind of got to wonder, you know, how can you get him going a little bit better, because he sort of looks like he might be the key in a matchup where these two teams play in a close game, in a close series. They proved tonight that they don't necessarily need to go nuclear in order to beat the Cavs, or have DeRozan go nuclear and just score 35 points or something like that to beat the Cavs. They need Lowry and DeRozan to do something, but I think this tonight maybe proves that they don't necessarily need DeRozan to, you know, shoot as well as he has to be competitive. Of course, I think the Cavs will be better in the playoffs. I think they're still clearly favored, as I said, I have said already, but I think tonight they still didn't have DeRozan at his best, didn't have him at the level we've seen him play at so far this year, and yet it was a close game that they could have won if a couple things break the other way. To move on to the wine and gold winners for this podcast, a lot of things to like, and we're going to do a couple negatives as well, but to start, we already talked about Channing Frye, but he did hit a three with under a minute to go that I thought was quite impressive. He catches the ball, pump fakes, plays it cool, gets off a three, go-ahead bucket. Really big bucket for him. Just an indicator of how good he is and what he's so good at. It's a prime example of he can catch the ball at the top of the key and get his shot off, and it was just really good. I mean, and I tweeted this as a joke, but Tristan Thompson wasn't going to do that, and Tristan Thompson probably needed to be in the game, I think, at certain points, I would argue, but if he's not hitting that three, and the defense isn't going to react to him when he's standing behind the three-point line, so of that, you know, those different lineup options you have. You do have this different yin and yang with the lineup options that you're seeing. When you go with Thompson, when you go with Frye, and they certainly both have their pros and cons. Next up, we have Richard Jefferson started. I thought that made a lot of sense. He's bigger and stronger than Dunleavy, who started on Sunday, and that matters in this matchup. Again, DeRozan's a big, strong shooting guard. Dunleavy's going to struggle there. Dunleavy still played 19 minutes and actually looked pretty good tonight. Richard Jefferson was the right call there, and I kind of like him as that bigger two guard. I think he's maybe the best option, especially if you want to keep him on Shumpert coming off the bench. And if there's other games this year where Jared misses, I sort of like the idea of starting RJ. To move on to Kevin Love, he was still really, really good, even though he was just 1-7 from 3, 19 points, 13 boards, 3 blocks. Again, this is another game where Kevin Love is making an impact, despite not shooting at the exact level you think he might. He's been really good this year, and this is just another example, just a double-double automatically every night. This guy is really, I think, on pace to be an all-star, and I'm a huge fan of how he's played tonight. Just another example of how he's contributing and playing really well despite some of the games where he's not maybe hitting as many threes as you would think he might or statistically is on average. Kyrie Irving, by the way, another really good game from him. Talked about him in the preview, how I thought maybe he needed to, or he could have a big breakout game and have a, just not a breakout game, but I guess, but a big scoring performance. He got close to that. Was again, very good. Hit some big buckets late and struggled a little bit on defense. We'll talk later in the next couple weeks about his defense. I have a guest in line for that. But with his defense, there's a moment where he was defending Lowry. There's 3 seconds left on the clock. The Raptors kind of botched the possession. And because Kyrie just kind of looked disinterested and took a bad angle, Lowry got off a three, made it. Didn't really matter, but you don't want to see Kyrie doing that. And maybe he won the playoffs, but right now you still don't want to see him doing that in a close game. Cavs, by the way, have made 10 threes for the 10th straight game, a minimum of 10 threes in a game, NBA record. No team has done that. They're just hitting threes ridiculously right now, and an NBA record for threes. The Warriors didn't even do that, so just kind of that's of note. And then also, we did see Jordan McRae for 10 minutes, but he just was sort of there. He didn't really take advantage of those minutes. He certainly got after Sunday. And that's fine. I'm not the biggest believer in him, but he's a guy who I think has potential, and I think he would have had a chance tonight to play, especially if JR's not there. Didn't do anything in 10 minutes, no points, no real impact on this game, and that's sort of kind of the Jordan McRae story at the moment.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
So before we get into the preview for the Pacers game, I just want to let you guys know of something that's coming up today that I think you might really like. So Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue from the Dunked On podcast, and Danny also hosts Locked On Warriors, are doing something really cool. They're partnering with Twitter to do an NBA Twitter show. If you're not really thrilled with the surface level analysis of those traditional NBA shows you might see on the networks, this is an alternative. Danny and Nate are going to be live streaming halftime and postgame shows starting today, this Wednesday, with Warriors, Raptors, and then Clippers, Grizzlies. If you're looking for advanced stats, play-by-play breakdowns, salary cap expertise, and any kind of trade talk in your NBA studio show, this is, I think, the way you want to go. It's going to be right on your phone. You don't even need cable to get this. You can turn in first at halftime of Warriors, Raptors. You can click on the video. They'll both tweet. You should both follow them on Twitter at NateDuncanNBA and at Danny LaRue. Or you can follow Nate on Periscope at NateDuncanNBA. Again, this is going to be really cool. This is the Twitter NBA Halftime Show. Nate Duncan, Danny LaRue from Dunked On the Dunked On podcast and Locked On Warriors. You know these guys. They know basketball down to the smallest little detail, and I think you really enjoy this. The Dunked On pod is great. Locked On Warriors is great. So make sure you check out these guys later today. And if you like it, make sure people know and share it on your social media channels and share it on Facebook. And just make sure people know that you like it, because it's a cool thing. It's definitely a really interesting alternative to what you're getting on the networks. So let's move into the Pacers game. The Cavs obviously are going to come in this game having played the night before, and we'll have to see if they rest anybody. 100% not sure they're going to rest anybody. Don't really see a need to just yet this early, but it's always possible. To look at the opposing player spotlight for this game, that's Miles Turner. I really am a big believer in Miles Turner. I think he's a guy with a lot of potential, and in theory, he presents some of the challenges for the Cavs that Fry and Love do for other teams. He's not quite a three-point shooter yet. He's not quite a guy who's going to pop out and hit a bunch of threes and really stretch out the defense from the five spot, but he has the potential to get there. And I also think it's worth noting that he's the most likely candidate the Pacers have of really adding a guy who Paul George can bank on as a running mate. I like CJ Miles. I like Jeff Teague. I like a lot of the guys they have. No one else on the roster has the potential to be a co-star to Paul George. And Miles Turner needs to keep developing. We haven't seen him yet this year. You know, he's rebounding pretty well. He's scoring a decent amount. He's doing generally things that you'd want him to do, but he hasn't necessarily been transcendent yet. He's going to get a really big test tonight. He has the quickness to defend Fry, but it could compromise Indiana's defense. How he does with Thompson will be quite interesting. Can he handle the physicality of a Tristan Thompson? But again, the potential for this guy is high. I'm a big fan of his, and they really, really need a lot out of him in order to maximize what they are. The Pacers are just sort of an average team, and that's where we'll get into with the three keys. They're 16th in offensive rating. They're 15th in defensive rating as I record this. They're 9th in the East, under 500. And this team does have the potential to be something. When you have a guy like Paul George, who I think is the second best player in the East, you can be something. You don't necessarily have to be great, but this is a star-driven league, and when you have a guy like Paul George, you think you'd be better. The issue is that he doesn't just kind of cover up all the flaws like LeBron maybe. He's not necessarily distributing. He's not necessarily just kind of taking them to that next level like LeBron can and does for the Cavs on an almost nightly basis. He's very good. Paul George is playing really well, but he's not really getting what he needs from everybody else. Jeff Teague, who they got from the Hawks this summer, is playing better, but he's only shooting 25% from three, under 40% from the field. And again, they have so much they need to break right in order to make this work and to really become the team that Paul George said he wanted to be with LeBron. In order for them to do that when it matters, things have to change, and they're just not there right now. Speaking of George, this is LeBron versus Paul George. That's the fun part of this game. Kevin Love has an advantage over Thad Young. Kyrie has an advantage over Jeff Teague. The fun matchup here is that Paul George might be the second best player in the East. I think he is. And he's a legit two-way player who has battled LeBron before, back when LeBron was with the Heat. A younger Paul George, pre-injury Paul George, really gave LeBron some issues in the playoffs. And this year, it looks like he's back after really kind of taking last year to get fully back from that injury. 21 points per game, 46.1% shooting, 41.4% from three, 6.6 rebounds, and he's been good on defense as well. And this is also probably LeBron's most competitive straight-up matchup to date. Carmelo on opening night certainly stands out, not only because Melo is a great player, but because him and LeBron are friends, but George is the closest counterpart LeBron has to another top level player that he can face sometime this year. It should be fun. I think LeBron will maybe try to show out a little bit because of that. He likes competing on those stages. But it's the best matchup by far. I mean, every other matchup in this game is fine. Thad Young is a fine player. I like Jeff Teague. There are issues with what they're doing overall, and just how it's working isn't really coming together. George is a big part of that. If he can become transcendent, he certainly can get there. Lastly, both teams are playing at a slightly above average league pace, which is interesting because the Pacers haven't really sped up the way they kind of had talked about doing, and the Cavs do like to push it. Who controls the tempo on a micro level may be the team who wins this game, and who's able to dictate the flow really might decide who kind of controls this game. I think the Cavs have the advantage because they have LeBron and Kyrie. As much as I love Paul George, he's not a guy who's going to handle the ball like LeBron Cannon does. Jeff Teague's an okay point guard, but I'm not a big believer in him. And I think you have to think there are a couple issues there with what Indiana's doing. I do kind of enjoy them. I do think there is certainly... You're kind of working just at a disadvantage for things to kind of work itself out. And you kind of have to hope it breaks, right? Maybe that starts happening in this game. Maybe Paul George just becomes so transcendent that it works out, but unless that happens, you don't exactly see anything happen. And by the way, I love CJ Miles. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA just because He's a really nice guy. Was really fun on the Cavs teams that were really, really bad. Pre-LeBron, was hoping they would keep him because I think he would fit really well. And just in fun speculation, if the Cavs were able to land him using a trade exception, I would be a big proponent of the second CJ Miles return in Cleveland. So that's going to be it for today's show. A little bit quicker. Just wanted to get through those couple things. You guys listening and just kind of taking on those recaps, because I know sometimes recapping games isn't the most fun, but the best thing I can say is just go watch that game. It's a really, really fun. Maybe the most fun Cavs game this year. It's maybe a little bit takey, but I enjoyed it. Please get your mailbag questions in. We'll do another mailbag on Monday. Drop those to lockedoncavs@gmail.com and to @lockedoncavs on Twitter. And you can also, drop me the question at cdimwrites on Twitter. Follow the podcast on Twitter @LockedOnCavs, as I said. And please go give us that 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. It helps raise our profile. And I will, again, read another review on Monday. You read a good review, leave that 5-star, you maybe get a shout-out on the show. So please go do that. And so, again, Carter Rodriguez will be subbing for me Thursday, Friday. I will be back. You'll hear me on Saturday with an episode with Daniel Ryle that I recorded about 2 weeks ago. But you'll be back with another live... You'll be back with another normal show next Monday for the Mailbag Show. So again, get your questions in. So this has been Chris Manning. It's been Locked On Cavs. Carter will talk to you tomorrow. I'll talk to you Saturday. And then again, technically, for real, next week.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.